The topic this morning is wayside encounters. You might consider them chance encounters. But in the mind of Christ, there's nothing like chance, except second chances and chances he gives us. But these meetings that Christ had were not chance meetings. And we look at some of them this morning, wayside encounters. And therein lies a message. The first one I talk about is the Roman centurion. He came to Christ and says, "Lord, my servant is ill. Can you heal him?" And you know the story. Most of us look at it mainly from the faith of that centurion. I want to look at it at two different angles. Many of us look down on people we believe are below us. Now, this centurion, a Roman, and his servant must have been more than likely a Jew. Conqueror, conquered. And yet, he found it necessary and in his heart to come and ask Christ to heal his servant. If this servant was not a good servant, he wouldn't have done that. It shows wherever we are placed in this life, we must do the very best that we can. You know, my stepfather, to whom I owe a lot, used to say, "Ansel, just don't look down on anybody. If you happen to be a street sweeper in your life, make sure that you are the very best street sweeper anybody has ever seen." In other words, give of your best at all times, no matter how degrading you think the job might be. Do it with all your might. One wayside encounter. Another one was the rich young ruler. He came seeking, and he found. And when he was told what he had to do to gain eternal life, he walked away with slumped shoulders, too proud, too mean to do what God had asked him to do. Then we look at Christ himself. Who were his first friends, his first disciples? Ragtag fishermen. Then he went on and found a tax collector, one of the most hated people in Jewry at the time. There's an old saying, "Show me your friends, I'll tell you who you are." So Christ was a ragtag man, right? Look who you're associated with. The tax collectors were thieves par excellence. They robbed everybody. But yet, Christ had one as his main disciple. He wrote the book of Matthew. And Peter, James, John, Andrew, fishermen. You know what fishermen give? They can decline the cloth and all the various fabrics that they are around the place. And those were his friends. But you see, he must have seen something good in them, why he chose them. So, my friends, back again. Do not look down on anybody. There was a story told of a king who went looking in his country to find out what people thought of him. So he dressed in ragtag clothes. And when he heard what the people said about him, he decided he had to change his habits because nobody liked him at all. But he also found out how people who seem to be poor are treated. What is our relationship with the street sweepers? Sitting in the mornings, cleaning the streets, picking up the garbage. You know, long ago in Trinidad, and I've had it here, there are these men who would go around in a donkey carts and a barrel on the donkey cart, and they had buckets, and they would go to the latrines and empty them at midnight. Many trips from your latrine, because those days, see, the toilet was out apart from the house. Part of the house, no, so it's bad. So they had to walk through your backyard and go to the toilet and dig, take buckets and dip them out and carry them to the barrel. And so they smell the stink. The job is a stink job. So we But if they did not do their job, we couldn't live. Look down on nobody. Then we come to the 10 lepers. And misery loves company. There were 9 Jews and 1 Samaritan. Okay? Now, Jews and Samaritans don't take tea. They don't even talk to each other. But because of their illness, they got together, banding together, stronger together than Cindy. They got healed by the wayside man, Christ. And 9 of them came back and said thanks. No? Which Bible are you reading? 9 of them said thanks in their heart, right? Didn't say thanks? How many of us, when we pray to God and get what we ask for, forget to say thanks? 1 person, the Samaritan, the one who's looked down upon, he was the one who came back and said thanks. And the Lord himself had to say, were there not 10 healed? And Samaritan, the cast aside one, he was the one who came and said thanks. Now, Christ taking a walk. Where? Samaria. Now, the Jews in those days never went to Samaria. The Samaritans were nothing. They were below them. People were to be held in contempt. And he walked into this place. And being human, got tired, sat down at a well. And who comes up? A woman of ill repute. And the Lord of heaven and earth stoops down mentally to say to her, give me some water to drink. Something's wrong with Christ. 1, he went to the wrong place. 2, he asked a woman. And 3, he knew she was scum. He spoke with her. Give me to drink. And because she asked him to drink, she drank of the waters he had to offer, the waters of eternal life. And look at what she did. A very powerful message went out, and the whole village came to see this man. And they begged him to stay a couple more days. So you see, wayside encounters are good encounters. What are we doing about wayside encounters? This is why in the old time days we still have to some extent tents. People from wayside are coming and listening. But what are you as an individual doing on your wayside encounters? Are you talking to people as you walk along the road, as you buck up somebody, as they say? Then we come to Zacchaeus. Now, Jericho, if you remember the Bible story about the man, rich man, who was journeying to Jericho, and he got held up, beaten and robbed and left for dead. And the Jericho Road was a bad road, worse than any inner city areas in Jamaica. People got robbed left, right, and center. There were bands of criminals hanging out everywhere. And Christ went through there? You're mad. Wayside encounters sends us to people, places, and people we didn't think we'd meet. That's the beauty of the wayside encounter. But Christ knew what he was doing. He got there. And this little short man, a tax collector, the scum of the earth, hated by one and all, by the Jews and by the Romans. The Jews thought him as a what's called turncoat. This man was a Jew, but he's now becoming now and more like the Roman oppressors. So you can imagine the indignity which he suffered at the hands of these people. But he didn't care. He had their money. And he, in his anxiety to see Christ, went to see where Christ was. And he walked the road. And he found the crowd.
And you try to bore his way through.
But they say, get out, man. You're too short for this thing. Move! And he couldn't get. And he, what can I do? He was determined to see Christ. Why? Have you ever asked yourself your question, why? He heard, or had heard, of all the miracles that Christ had done, and wanted to see for himself this man God, who could do all these things, walk on water, multiply food, taking five barley loaves and two fish to feed 5,000, and then another time feeding 4,000 with 7 loaves and 4 fish. This man was amazing. I have to see this man. Do you want to see Christ? Have you put all the effort to find Christ? And that is the question for all of us. Many of us, we come to church on the Sabbath. Yes, yeah, nice. We are Seventh-day Adventists. We believe in God and all that. But have you really found Christ? The Sabbath school lessons for this week talks about the Holy Spirit being in us. And if the Holy Spirit is in us, what should our behavior be like? When you come into this church on Sabbath afternoon, after the crowd has left, and you look on the ground, what do you see? Bits and pieces of paper, bottles of water left, everything in disarray. Is that the way we treat the house of God? Do we have Christ in us, the Holy Spirit in us? And when we throw these things on the ground, we say, oh, the deacons will do that, pick it up. When you're going to the toilets in the afternoon after church and see the paper around the repository for dirty paper, what do you see? Masses of paper on the ground. Oh, the deacons will do that. The song that they sang, chorale sang, the love, myself and myself alone, right? Love everybody. There's another saying. Do unto others before they do unto you. Kevin, I hear you are plotting something against me, see? So before you can do it, I will plot against you. Is that the correct attitude? But that's what many of us think. Him? Not like me, no. I know him plotting something against me, but I'm a fixing business. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That is the golden rule, to love your neighbor as yourself. And to seek for Christ and find him. And when you found him, hold on to him tight. Tight, tight, tight. Don't let nobody take it away from you. So Zacchaeus ran. And he must have been about 50, maybe later than that, older than that. What he did. Imagine him. Now you see, you think I would climb trees? I still do that sometimes, you know, but I have to be very careful which trees I climb. I have to make sure the tree can support my weight and that I'm agile enough to go from branch to branch. This man had no outdoor experience at all. He sat down the table collecting money day after day. So to see this little man running up a tree, and then he goes out on a branch across the road and catches himself on this tree, waiting to see Christ pass. Are we that eager in our lives to find the Christ and to be like him? Now, to show you the kind of man Christ is, he comes to the tree. And imagine this. Zacchaeus is looking for Christ. Christ, if Christ were like me, my eyes would be on the people around me and seeing where I'm walking. But Christ looked up He had to look up to see Zacchaeus up in the tree. And he says, no, I find this funny, you know. Imagine I come into your church and I talk to Elder Brown. Elder Brown, today I come into your house and I'm going to abide with you for today. No, I have done something wrong. I have inviting myself to somebody's house. I don't know if they're positioned to receive me or to give me anything I want, but I want to come to your house today, you see? And I expect you to feed me good. You see what Christ does? He ignores all these little protocols which hinder the work he has to do. And he says, Zacchaeus, come down. So imagine the, what? Oh yes, oh yes. The church people around says, this man is not a god. How could he stoop to go home with this miscreant, this malcontent, this tax collector, whom we all hate with a passion, and he goes home with him? Cannot follow him. He is no god. That's the reaction. Show me your friends. I will tell you who you are. But you see, Christ is above all that. And we should be above all that. Ignore what people say about you. You know, I was told one time that by a friend of mine, they were at some party the other. And while at the party, they were talking about a wife and myself. And the person, somebody saying to him, you know why I move up to Gordon Town? Into the bush? It's because I beat up my wife, you know. And in the bush when he beat her, when she bawled, nobody hear her. And my friend says to the people, that man, I have known him because my husband worked with him. And he's the kindest man you could ever hope to find. And he wouldn't beat up anybody. Incidentally, I have to tell you also another wayside encounter. Now, I was at university in 1954, about in 52. In 1954, I decided to go to Haiti. Now, I wasn't doing French or Spanish, but I wanted to go to Haiti because I liked Haiti. I read about the history of Haiti and so on, Henri Christophe and all the people like that. And I wanted to go to Haiti. And I got to Haiti with two Trinidadian fellows, Lennox Bala, Fitzroy Lougheed. Fitzroy Bala and Lennox Lougheed. And we got there. And then we heard that there was an arrangement for us to get up to see the citadel in Cap Haïtien, which is built by Henri Christophe, the first person who declared himself king of Haiti. And we were waiting at a house. And I sat down, as usual, by myself on the steps going up the house. And sat down there, and people passed me and so on. And then I saw a young lady passing me, going inside. I looked at her. She says, good morning. I said, good morning. And she went inside. And later on, we got on the bus, and we traveled up. And we got a Cap Haïtien, and there was a donkey hired for some people. And while she was on the donkey riding for a bit, I walked beside and spoke to her a little bit, not much. And then, but she, a lady who, yeah, you know, talks a lot. And apparently I must have said to somebody, that woman, somebody should marry a woman, you know, keep her quiet. I heard this years afterwards. Well, I came back to Jamaica and I called a friend and said, you know this person? And they said, yeah, she's right here right now. You want to talk with her? I said, sure, I'll talk with her. And so we spoke in French, because I'd done some French at school. And we remained sort of telephone friends for a while. And then I went to end of year dance at university. You see, at the time I was out of the church, you see. So. And with a date, my young lady to whom I was engaged broke up the engagement. So I was crestfallen, but I still had to go to the dance. I took somebody else with me. And while there, I see walking in this young lady with a gentleman I knew, and they sat down at her table, and I went to her table with other friends. And towards the end of the dance, the fellow who had brought her said to me, Ansel, could you take us home afterwards? I said, sure. So six of us jumped into my car, and I drove, and I dropped everybody home. I dropped her home last, and asked if I'd come and see her. And she said, yeah, all right. And then began the courtship, wayside encounter. And I've been married, reasonably happy, for 54 years. And she hasn't kept quiet. But you see, wayside encounters change our lives. And look at the many people whose lives were changed by encounters at the wayside by Christ. Back to Zacchaeus. And Christ says, Zacchaeus, come down. And the call for us today is first to come down off our high horses. There was a song here in Jamaica some years ago. Come down off your pomps and pride. And the older ones than you would know, remember that song, right? And so we are asked by Christ, come down off of your pomp and your pride. Come down to the level ground at the foot of the cross where all of us must meet if you want to get anywhere at all. Come down and learn of him who came to die for us. Come down and learn how to love each other, how to be kind to one another, not expecting anything in return, but doing it because you love God and you love your fellow man. You know, I was in, where it was, Singapore. No, I had gone to Thailand on a mission and had done my business there, and I had used up most of the money for buying plants to come back with. So I was going to cut short my stay in Singapore. I was supposed to spend 3 days there. So I had to cut short, leave the same day if possible, because the money was low. And so that night I went and got something to drink and eat right in the hotel at the airport. And sat down to read until about midnight, and then took a little sleep in the chair. The next morning to go down and take the flight to Hawaii. And I got there with six boxes of plants. So I went to the agent at the desk, and he says, okay, that much for freight. I said, well, you see, I have this letter from UNDP asking for, you know. He said, all right, freight free, go on. But you have to pay $8 US to leave. I had $1 US cash left. I had a check for $100, which I couldn't cash anywhere because nobody knew me. And nobody knew the owner of the check, the one who wrote the check. What am I to do? And somebody in the line, about six or seven people behind me, says, okay, I'll pay it. And he came and paid the money. Wayside encounters saved embarrassment and helped. Are you doing such good works in your wayside encounters? Oh, we can't go around doing good to everybody we meet. That is impossible. Did Christ say it was impossible to go through a dangerous place like Jericho to find Zacchaeus, a tax collector? Because that wasn't by chance. God knows everything long before it happens and knows what we will do. And so Zacchaeus comes down. And the good thing about it, my Christ more than likely held his hand and walked with Zacchaeus to Zacchaeus' house. The Bible doesn't say how far Zacchaeus' house was, but they walked together to Zacchaeus' house. Now, would you hold hands with somebody who is hated by everybody else? you be brave enough to do that? But if the Holy Spirit is in you, as we have studied this week, these things don't matter. You're doing it because God tells you, showing you what to do. You see, pride is a deadly sin. And many of us, I suppose myself included, believe that we are the best thing since sliced bread. We are nothing. In fact, Jacob, who was a patriarch, was referred to by God as a worm. But if Jacob, a patriarch, is a worm, what are we? What the worm eats. Where does the worm live? In the dirt. So you see, we are nothing. So why take on this air of superiority? I'm better than everybody else. I. Remember of Nebuchadnezzar? I. Satan? I. Forget I. Think of others. Paul says it. Put other people's things before yours. Paraphrasing. In other words, believe somebody else has more than you. Don't envy it. Try to get it if you can, by legal means, by prayer and hard work. But don't envy. You know, again, look at Christ's disciples. Imagine a fisherman. Not much education. Getting up and speaking at the day of Pentecost. With such power and such fervor that 3,000 people believed. Then I want to be a fisherman like that. Blessed by God, moved by God to the work God wants me to do. And all of us, every single one of us, this is our aim, this is our object. And Zacchaeus and Christ get home. The Bible doesn't say whether the disciples were there, but I would imagine the disciples were there. And so Zacchaeus and his friends would have been there, and the disciples, and they were there. And they must have had a good repast. Because Zacchaeus is feeling good now that Christ, the ruler of the world, had condescended to come into his house and to partake of whatever he had. And he says, "All, I have done plenty of things wrong. But for everybody I've robbed, I shall repay them." Hold back a little bit, no? Right? How much? Four? No. Zacchaeus is a madman too. Him thief $10 from me and I give back 40? No, sir. Can't go so. But this is what he said. And he meant it. Because he did it. Are we people of our words, of our promises? We have promised to love Christ. And what is more, we have promised to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. How close are we to that? How close? I can't answer for you. For myself, I try. And with God's help, I'll succeed. Only Christ can help us. Only Christ. And we must remember, when we are in Christ, nothing matters. All the troubles and trials we go through are but nothing compared to what is laid up for us in heaven. So press on, my friends. Keep on believing in God. Thank you.